assuring me that I would walk from these charges. He had hired Vince Fuller, the best lawyer that a $1 million fee could buy. But I knew from the start that I was in trouble. I wasn't being tried in New York or Los Angeles. We were in Indianapolis, Indiana, historically one of the strongholds of the Ku Klux Klan. My judge, Patricia Gifford, was a former sex crimes prosecutor and was known as the Hanging Judge. I had been found guilty by a jury of my peers, only two of whom were black. Another black jury member had been excused by the judge after a fire in the hotel where the jurors were staying. But in my mind, I had no peers. I was the youngest heavyweight champion in the history of boxing. I was a titan, the reincarnation of Alexander the Great. My style was impetuous, my defenses were impregnable, and I was ferocious. It's amazing how a low self-esteem and a huge ego can give you delusions of grandeur. But after the trial, this god among men had to get his black ass back in court for his sentencing. But first I tried some divine intervention. Calvin, my close friend from Chicago, told me about some hoodoo woman who could cast a spell to keep me out of jail. You piss in a jar, then put $500 bills in there, then put the jar under your bed for 3 days, and then bring it to her, and she'll pray over it for you, Calvin told me. So the clairvoyant broad is gonna take the pissy pile of hundreds out of the jar, rinse them off, and then go shopping. If somebody gave you $100 bill they pissed on, would you care? I asked Calvin. I had a reputation for throwing around money, but that was too much, even for me. Then some friends tried to set me up with a voodoo priest, but they brought around this guy who had a suit on. The guy didn't even look like a drugstore voodoo guy. This asshole needed to be in the swamp. He needed to have on a dashiki. I knew the guy had nothing. He didn't even have a ceremony planned. He just wrote some shit on a piece of paper and tried to sell me on some bullshit I didn't do. He wanted me to wash in some weird oil and pray and drink some special water. But I was drinking goddamn Hennessy. I wasn't gonna water down my Hennessy. So I settled on getting a Santeria priest to do some witch doctor shit. We went to the courthouse one night with a pigeon and an egg. I dropped the egg on the ground as the bird was released and I yelled, "We're free!" A few days later, I put on my gray pinstripe suit and went to court. After the verdict had been delivered, my defense team had put together a pre-sentence memorandum on my behalf. It was an impressive document. Dr. Jerome Miller, the clinical director of the Augustus Institute in Virginia and one of the nation's leading experts on adult sex offenders, had examined me and concluded that I was a sensitive and thoughtful young man with problems more the result of developmental deficits than of pathology. With regular psychotherapy, he was convinced that my long-term prognosis would be quite good. He concluded, "A term in prison will delay the process further and more likely set it back. I would strongly recommend that other options with both deterrent and treatment potential be considered." Of course, the probation officers who put together their sentencing document left that last paragraph out of their summary, but they were eager to include the prosecution's opinion. "An assessment of this offense and this offender leads the chief investigator of this case, an experienced sex crime detective, to conclude that the defendant is inclined to commit a similar offense in the future." My lawyers prepared an appendix that contained 48 testimonials to my character from such diverse people as my high school principal, my social worker in upstate New York, Sugar Ray Robinson's widow, my adoptive mother, Camille, my boxing hypnotherapist, and six of my girlfriends and their mothers, who all wrote moving accounts of how I had been the perfect gentleman with them. One of my first girlfriends from Catskill even wrote the judge, "I waited 3 years before having sexual intercourse with Mr. Tyson, and not once did he force me into anything. That is the reason I love him, because he loves and respects women." But of course, Don, being Don, he had to go and overdo it. King had the Reverend William F. Crockett, the imperial first ceremonial master of the ancient Egyptian Arabic order Noble's Mystic Shrine of North and South America, write a letter on my behalf. The Reverend wrote, "I beseech you to spare him incarceration. Though I have not spoken to Mike since the day of his trial, my information is that he no longer uses profanity or vulgarity, reads the Bible daily, prays, and trains." Of course, that was all bullshit. He didn't even know me. Then there was Don's personal heartfelt letter to the judge. You would have thought that I had come up with a cure for cancer, had a plan for peace in the Middle East, and nurse sick kittens back to health.